Well, good morning to you, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janice P.M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Well, today is February 24th, 2025, and we're reading from the Big Book today, and we are at page 80, paragraph 4, beginning with, after consulting his wife and ending, this all happened years ago. All right, and again, today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Patricia C., for 12 traditions, Tanya P. Our readers consist of Becca R. for the first reader, D. Ann F., who's going to do our closing on page 164, and we have Dawn B. in the wings if we need her. Okay, so our share IDs, and then we also have a newcomer greeter. We have Carla H., and we have announcements, Shelly E. Now, our reference numbers, previous day, which would be yesterday, Sunday, February 23rd at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Okay, that number is, I know I have this, the number is, it's 22190. That's 22,190. Okay, preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to eat to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members, and we are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Now, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, is to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Now, here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So I will now ask... Oh, my dear. I have so many papers here. I'm sorry. I have a few months. Yes. Patricia, go ahead, please.
Hi. Thank you, Patricia C. in North Carolina. Thank you for letting me serve. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Patricia. And now we'll hear from Tanya P. She's going to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
And thank you, Tanya P. Now, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. What we do is we read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds you to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Now, our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. In order to share, please press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Well, today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 80, paragraph 4. And now I will ask, just a moment, Becca R., you're going to be our first reader.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for the meeting. We get it done, don't we? Mm-hmm. All right. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater and anorexic and bulimic, calling in from Kentucky. And here we are. After consulting his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks and to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended a church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval, and today he is one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This all happened years ago. So, yeah, I was actually reading in one of the stories this morning in the back of the book. It's on the move on page 491 if you wanted to read it. But it, in one of the paragraphs I read, this guy spent 9 hours going into people's offices and making them amends. And I think about that desperation and that willingness that I have when I'm on the doorsteps of OA and I'm like just free me from this food, this craziness, this compulsion, this obsession. Well, by the time I'm at step 9, at least for me, I had found some neutrality. Things were going a lot smoother in my life. And I didn't have that fire under my behind. But I have to remember, as it was agreed in the beginning, that I was willing to go to any length to get this recovery. And so this just makes it such a beautiful example here in the front of the book. And then also just lining up with me reading that story this morning of we go to any lengths and we get it done. I'm grateful that my sponsor stuck with me through that amends making process. Like, where are you at? How did this one go? What, how many do you have left? Which one are you having trouble with? How can we, you've tried to get a hold of this person. You've tried, you know, look at different avenues. And then the feeling I got with the completion of the 9th step, and you know, we're never really complete. There's going to be things that crop up, but that's what the 10th step's for. We'll get to that soon. But I'm just really grateful for the experience and that it's not something, step 9 is not something I sit on. It's an action step, which all the steps are action steps, right? All right, I'm excited to see what everybody else has to share. I'll pass with that.
Okay, thank you so much, Becca R. Now I'm going to just say that that although we value your experience, we please ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. Why? In order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to start sharing on page 80, paragraph 4?
Wendy B.
Oh, Wendy. Okay. And where do you, give me your state.
Arizona.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy. And I'll take another person. Who would like to be next? After Wendy.
Deborah G.
Deborah.
Arizona.
Okay, Deborah. Thank you. Anybody else?
Lorraine W.
Lorraine W. Oh, you're being so kind to everybody here. Lorraine W. from?
Pennsylvania.
PA. Okay, we'll take another person. Anybody else? Plenty of time. We're going to start with Wendy B. from Arizona. Good morning,
Linda
Wendy.
Linda G.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Linda G.
Okay, Linda, we'll take you. Where are you from?
Mobile, Alabama.
Alabama. All right. Thank you, Wendy, for holding. And we'll start with you again, Wendy B. from Arizona.
Good morning. This is Wendy B. from Arizona. And the line where it said he was guilty of ruinous slander. And ruinous means destructive, bringing sin. And slander means a false tale or report maliciously uttered, injuring the reputation of another by lessening him in the esteem of his fellows. And this brings to mind being falsely accused or blamed. You know, and I've been on both the giving and the receiving of false accusations. And, you know, when I think I know someone's motives, you know, that they're in denial, you know, and I'm perceptive and I know the truth and I judge them as deficient and wrong. And God is really helping me to accept that I can't see into another man's heart. You know, only God can. And, you know, and I get to take what they say as their motive, that face value, and validate their reality. And, you know, and this isn't easy, you know, since I grew up with critical, shaming parents. But in program, you know, I'm learning to have grace and forgiveness for other people's flaws. And you know, I've also been on the receiving end lately when my coworker went to my supervisor with her perception of events without checking with my perception first, and my supervisor's view of me was damaged, and I got kicked off the team, and nothing I said, you know, changed her view. And you know, I love the statement, we place the outcome in God's hands, because that's what I did. And God worked through the situation and gave me better opportunities, you know. And that supervisor, you know, was an alcoholic and very erratic and reactive. And it's just a blessing to no longer have to be accountable to her. And, you know, so God uses even the things we think are negative and slanderous, you know, to move us into, you know, other areas where we're more well suited. And I'm just so glad God is in control of everything. And I'm not. And so thank you for letting me share.
And thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Now we have Deborah C. from Arizona.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Janice, so much for your service today and everyone's service making this meeting possible. I love this meeting, and welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us. And I can remember so many times when I had to make an amends and I was really afraid about what the outcome was going to be with the amends or just doing it, you know. Wow, and I had to really go back to that experience of connecting with God with my step work, because you know, it's all about God anyways, and my dependence and my connection and doing God's will. And I can forget that when I'm in fear. My fear thinking just never is helpful, you know. And there have been a couple times there where I was wondering what was going to happen, and it was just divine order. See, it's like my view of what I think is going to happen isn't what happens. You know, there again, it's my thinking. I can't trust my thinking. I love that sentence. He saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. Or they would put it to me about doing the amends work. Do you want to, how free do you want to be? You know, that freedom from all that stuff that's going on within me and in my life. I can breathe when I think about that, when I think about the freedom. And then I feel so good after. And, you know, my sponsor reminds me, do things that make you feel good. Because when I feel good, I don't want to go to the food or an addiction, you know. When I stay connected, you know, with my divine loving power presence and being in this moment, you know, it's just, I never thought I could feel good like this. You know, I always thought that I had to go to the food for the ease and comfort. You know, that was my thinking again. You know, but I continue to learn. I just, you know, trust, be honest, open-minded, and willing, and do the work, and things unfold. And I'm so grateful for it. I'm grateful for all of you 12-stepping me today. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Yeah, perfect timing, Deborah. Okay, now we're going to hear from Lorraine W. from Pennsylvania. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, and this is Lorraine W. from outside of Pittsburgh, PA. I'm new to this particular meeting, but I've been to Vision for You meetings back in the past. I'm just grateful to be here today. And reading this story reminds me of a sponsor I had in 1985. And I told her about an incident I had in high school where I had socked this guy in the face, and it was in front of a big crowd, and everybody was laughing and everything, but I was very angry. And my sponsor called me on it. She said, "What did you sock him for?" And I said, "I think he touched me." And she says, "Do you know for sure if he touched you? Are you sure?" And I said, "I don't know." She said, "Well, you need to find this out, and you need to, you know, ask him." She said, "That's a horrible thing you did. You know, you punched him in the face. You don't know why. You don't know if he did it." And she said, "Do you know where he's at?" And I made this excuse. I said, "He's in the Navy. You know, I don't know where he's at." She said, "Well, his parents do. Find his address." Well, I didn't listen to my sponsor. And, of course, I started coasting in the program, and I went into relapse, regained all my weight plus 50 pounds. I came back in the program in 96. Well, I was with a different sponsor, and I happened to be in a store, and I heard my name called twice. And the third time I'm looking at this guy, I did not recognize who he was. And then he said his name, and it was a guy that I had socked in the face. But I remembered what my first sponsor says. You got to quickly make amends. You can't just wait on it. But it was almost, 15 years later. But I made amends that day. And he's been my best friend, even when I was very sick. He called me every day in the hospital, encouraging me and telling me to fight for my life. So, again, I'm just mystified by how God used him to keep fighting for my life, even though I had gotten very grotesquely morbidly obese. I am so grateful because as of today, I'm 20 months of continuous abstinence. And I'm so grateful for this program and the steps. Like a lady I heard before on a cassette tape, so it was years ago, she said, "You take these 12 steps. If you want to live, you take these 12 steps and you walk them." And I'll never forget that. It is imperative that I walk these steps and do what I'm told to do, not shirk it and not say, "I got this." No, I don't got this because my thinking is warped. My name is Lorraine W. I'm a compulsive overeater from outside of Pittsburgh. My number is 724-822-6175. Text or let me know you're from OA. I accept any outreach calls.
Gentle time. That's it. Thank you for saying your name because I almost forgot who was talking. Lorraine W. from Pennsylvania. Now we have Linda G. from Alabama. Good morning, Linda.
Thank you. I'm Linda G., a recovering compulsive overeater and anorexic from Alabama. I love this paragraph because it also reminded me of something that's already been said, how God used a situation to move me from one situation that was bad for me into a situation that proved to be wonderful for me. I was married to a man who would not support me at a time that was critical for me. And my perfectionism moved in there, and I tried to mold him into the kind of man I needed him to be, and he refused, and I went crazy. I went absolutely wild, and my disease ran amok, and I was not in program at the time, and I was a total mess. I have since made amends to him, but not complete amends, and I'm wondering if I have to do it again because I haven't been thorough, and I don't know if I have to go back and revisit what I said in a deeper way. Because I wasn't fully honest with him. I was honest, but since that time I've learned much more, and I've seen much more of what I had done
unacceptable to me, and I don't want to wear that. I don't want to keep going with that. I need to divest myself of that. So I'm thinking I have to go back and finish that fourth step with him, that fifth step. And it's been bothering me, so I think I need to finish that. Well, the fifth step is with my sponsor. It's the eighth and ninth step that I have to finish with him. So, anyway, that's what I need to share. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
We don't hear you, Janice.
Okay.
Don, are you there?
Yes.
Can you step in for Janice? I'm sorry.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. Do we have a next person who is going to share?
We've reached the end.
Okay, very good. Okay, I'm happy to take now a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And just a reminder, we're talking about page 80, that third paragraph there, fourth paragraph there, that starts with, after consulting his wife and partner, and then it ends with, this all happened years ago. So who else would like to share on this paragraph? Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Nancy O.
Nancy O. Okay, who else?
Hear me, this is Janice, I'm back.
Okay, very good. Nancy O.
Thank
just...
Thank you, go ahead.
Yeah, Nancy O. just listed her name she'd like to share, and take it away, Janice. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I got cut off. But anyway, we're here. Nancy O., can somebody else would like to follow Nancy? Somebody else? Two? Star one to unmute. All right, Nancy O., where are you from, dear?
Hi, this is Nancy O. from Ohio.
Okay, go ahead, Nancy O.
Yeah, thank you, and good morning, everybody, and such beautiful shares. And I've been married quite a long time, and I disliked my mother-in-law for probably, at the time, close to 40 years. I tried to ruin her character by gossip in my disease and also turn my family from her. And it didn't work, my children, you know. And the gift was my heart started to change for her, and I started to feel compassion for the first time in my life. And it was, of course, coming through program, studying this book with all of you. And one day she just was going to show up at our house. But I did talk to my husband because I was going to make amends to her. And I asked him, I didn't know how it was going to go, and it could come back on him. And he totally supported me because he started to see the changes in me. So he went ahead and he went in the other room, and he left us alone. And I told her I had something I wanted to talk to her about. And I explained to her I wasn't the daughter-in-law I could have been all these years. I said a few more things. I didn't go into exact detail over the last 40 years, and she accepted it graciously. And he got to witness from another room the miracles of this recovery, and I do believe they're miracles, and they affect all our family. But anyway, I got to do also not only that amends, but living amends. She just passed away last year. And I had about another 10 years to live these principles in all my affairs. So it's been a beautiful gift. And thank you all. You're all beautiful. And I'm Nancy O. from Ohio.
And thank you so much, Nancy, for sharing that with us. Okay, we're ready to receive some more shares. And we're on page 80, paragraph 4, okay, after consulting his wife and ending this all happened years ago. Anybody ready to share? Star 121 new.
Dawn B.
Okay, Dawn. Yes, Dawn B. All right. While you're here, Dawn, can you be ready to also step in for the 12 for the page 164 in addition? Okay.
Absolutely. Happy to do that.
Yeah. Thank you. Who's after Dawn B? Who would like to share after Dawn B?
Amy K. in Virginia.
Amy K. Virginia. Dawn, where are you from? We'll get that.
California.
Oh, good. West Coast. Okay. Anybody else would like to share? Page 80, paragraph 4. After Amy. All right. Let's take Dawn B. from California. Good morning, Dawn, again. Mm-hmm.
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California, and it is so great to be sharing on the line today. So this, to me, is like the ultimate trust fall into my higher power's arms. So he says here, after consulting his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks, and it really was a risk, to do it God's way. To hold on to God's hand and run towards what I'm most afraid of. And that's a beautiful thing to do in steps 8 and 9, but it's also a beautiful way of life to just hold on to God's hand and take that ultimate trust fall and just run towards what I'm afraid of and putting the outcome into God's hands. So it's literally, we're living out our step 3 here as well, because we're abandoning ourselves utterly to God. We're putting our whole lives and the whole situation, which he just said he could not possibly make right. So this is an impossible situation he has defined here. There's no way out. And we put our whole lives and our situations that we can't possibly see a way out of. We put it into God's hands and we say, whatever your will is, God, that is my only goal. And it's just beautiful and so calming even to say that. So this is just, it's teaching me not only how to make my amends, but how to live my life. This is helping me see that now, from now on, I'm putting myself in God's hands and I'm saying, your will be done, not mine. May your will be my only goal. And whatever the outcome is, God, that is in your hands as well. And I am in your hands. The situation is, God, and I don't see a way out, but I know that you do. Comparatively speaking, I really am blind, but you see perfectly. And so I put myself, my weaknesses, my imperfections into your hands, and I pray only for your will to be done. And In doing this, it really is a new way of life, and we're turning our lives over to God's will and God's care and asking only for strength and directions to meet our problems as God would have us, not just in this one event where we're making amends, but also in our daily lives. So thank you so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Dawn B., for sharing with us. Okay, now we have Amy K. from Virginia. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. This is Amy in Virginia, recovered compulsive overeater. The sentence that really jumped out at me this morning was, after the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. This is the exact opposite of how I normally operate in my large and in charge persona. because that's what I'm left with. When the food is gone, when the fat is gone, I've got this large and in charge ego. And in amends, or really any situation where I have to be vulnerable, I want to control the state of play. I do have an outcome in mind, and that is that I am going to look good, and then I'm going to feel good. And I love what's been shared, that the outcome is in God's hands, that I'm just showing up and I'm doing what I've been directed to do. What I know that I've done in the past is throw a whole lot of words on something and give too much explanation, too much justification for what I've done, instead of just saying I was wrong and allowing myself to be in the space of that vulnerability, to stand in the breach with nothing but God. When I do a lot of emoting and a lot of performing and a lot of explaining, and there's just all kinds of energy flying around, I'm really saying that I get to be more upset about this than you do. And, of course, your only response, if I show up and say, oh, I'm a dirtbag, I'm so sorry I did this, I'm just a horrible person, I'm robbing you of the experience to have whatever you need to have in the moment. I am really saying that how I feel is more important than how you feel. And so I've taken up the space, I'm filling the stage, and the only possible response that I'm manipulating here to, I'm a dirtbag, I'm so sorry I did this to you, I've set you up to just say, oh, no, it's not that big of a deal. And I have gone many years of my life with these big, huge responses, rationalizations, justifications, just sucking all the air out of the room and wearing people out so that they don't get to have their own experience. I'm so afraid of just standing in emptiness, so afraid of being empty on the inside that I fill it all up with words and emotions, and you don't get your opportunity to be the star of the show. You don't get your opportunity to have your reality validated. I am manipulating again. And I just love the simplicity of he quietly got up and made an explanation. It is in the quiet, in the shadows, in the nooks and the crannies, that is where I need God the most. Those are the places where I am still maneuvering and manipulating and setting people up to give me an outcome, what I think I need in order to be okay, instead of letting them have what they need. Thanks.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. Amy Kay, thank you from Virginia. Now we have time for a couple of more. Who would like to be next?
This is
Lauren
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Okay, I just heard Arizona, so let's take whoever that was.
Nancy L.
Okay, Nancy L. And there was another person, I believe.
Lauren A.
Lauren A. as an apple?
Yes.
Thank you. And where are you from, Lauren?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Okay, let's try these two for now. Nancy A. from Arizona. It's your turn, dear. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. This is Nancy L. in Arizona. I felt that God was telling me it's time to make amends to your mother-in-law. And I'm like, no, my mother-in-law. Mm-hmm. I used to have all these excuses like, oh, I can't make an amends to my mother-in-law. It's been so long. You know, and then I felt like saying, well, I've done a lot of things way back when I was completely in charge of myself and my food. And so this is another time when, even though it's been a long time, just go ahead and make the amends. And so I did, and it was a beautiful amends. And my mother-in-law was, of course, she remembered the event, and she was very forgiving and thanked me for calling, making the call. And so anyway, for any of you guys out there that are wanting to make excuses, forget it, just do it. It's beautiful. For the most part, it's a good feeling. Whether it's taken or not by the other person, just getting it out there is the way to go, I think. And with that, I'll pass. Nancy in Arizona.
Thank you so much, Nancy L. Good reminder. All right, we have Lauren A. from Minnesota.
Thanks, Janice. This is Lauren A. from Minnesota. I really didn't think I was on ninth step stuff right now, but after hearing people talk, my church had a real nasty controversy going on from November till now, and the pastor retired, my husband and I left the church, and in my opinion, the people that made all that happen were really at fault. But now what's going on with me is I am full of resentment and fear and anger and anxiety, and how do I get rid of it? You know, I got to get rid of that stuff, and We tried a new church yesterday, and they had a prayer thing afterwards, and I talked to people that said prayers for you, and they said beautiful prayers. It was really a nice little deal they did. And then later on, I went to a meeting on Zoom, 12-step in 4 hours, and listening to that, I realized that I can't figure this out myself. It's only God that can help me. I can't figure out what I need to do. I probably do need to make some kind of amends, but first, I got to let go of resentment and fear and everything else, and only God can help me with that. So I'm putting it in his hands, and I hope I don't grab it back. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Lauren A. from Minnesota. Okay, we have room for maybe two more. Who would like to be next? Down to the wire. We're on page 80, paragraph 4.
Joanne from West Virginia.
Well, thank you, Joanne. Will there be anybody else? Well, Joanne.
Michelle
from
California.
Yeah, okay, Michelle, thank you. And now we're going to hear from Joanne W. from Virginia. Thank you, Joanne. You're up.
Thank you. Joanne U. Anyway, thank you for this meeting. It's the first time I've actually shared. I've just been listening in the last few weeks on the days I can get here. So I'm kind of a newcomer to this meeting. Been to a few other OA meetings, but I do like this one very much. Reading from the big book, line by line. So what I've heard, what I know is I can't transfer credits to another fellowship. So I'm starting over, and it's great. I'm reading, and these meetings are really helping. A Vision for You are really helping to read afresh with new eyes the big book, which I'm quite familiar with, but I've realized that I need to read it afresh. And with the food in mind. So that's what I'm doing. It's been great hearing the share today, specifically that, you know, somehow step 9, when we just trust God with the outcome of all things, when we have those fears, to run towards those fears with God, you know, our hands in God's hands. That was really helpful today, because I am fearful about putting down the food. You know, step 1 for me is where I'm at. But, you know, they're also interwoven and interlinked, the steps, the principles contained therein. So I'm really grateful to be here. And I know there's a lot of fear in me about actually really coming to terms and admitting to my innermost self that I am totally powerless over alcoholic foods. But I'm going to keep coming back. I have a desire to be abstinent, to recover, and to for my sanity to be restored. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
And welcome, and please stay for newcomer greeters. We can get your state, you know, your telephone number, and we welcome you home. All right. So now we have Michelle C. from California. Good morning, Michelle.
Hi. Good morning. This is Michelle C. from California. I have been just so moved by the Step 9 amends stories that people have been sharing. This past couple weeks has been very moving to me, and I'm currently on step 4. And as people share things about their church community and some troubles that have gone on in their church community and the resentments they have over that, or their mother-in-law, or not paying rent, or all these things that it's like, oh my gosh, I have to write this down and include this in my step 4, because It's been so good to hear this and get reminded of it. And I love that it says, you know, put your hand in God's hand. You might be scared, as I'm scared to eventually do amends and face some of the fears and resentments that I have. I am so moved by the stories that people have shared, whether it's in the Big Book or here on Vision, that I know that there really is, there is so much hope. So I'm filled with hope today on this Monday morning. I wanted to bless everyone for all their shares. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Michelle C. from California. We got another couple of minutes. Who would like to take that? We have three more minutes, according to my clock here. Who would like to close us up? We're really not closing, but just for sharing. Anybody want to take that? Well, I don't like to have a big space, so perhaps we will close. And I would like to close with the reading. We're not really closed all the way, so we're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Now, Dawn, we ask you to step in, please, for Dee.
Absolutely. This
Thank
is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us, and we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.